The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
What time is it?
I started to question myself if I was watching Lucha Underground and I had accidentally flipped over to Cinemax.
Not a whole lot of faces shown as far when it comes to Brenda, so.
Yeah.
You're spot on there, buddy.
This is the house that AJ Styles built.
Nakamura, he's just such a great star. It doesn't matter what you do with him, people are going to cheer for him.
Did you feel the gloriousness? Did you feel it? Bobby Roode did his job.
This is insane how great they are.
Well, I think the authors of Pain are young prodigies.
That's how good we are.
Representing Bullet Club. This is what we do.
Super Kid Putty! Bam!
Woo! I just won a battle royal, man. I hadn't been in one of those in like forever, but I just won a battle royal in the WWE. Next week, I get to wrestle The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship. So once again, I might be that champion, and it might be as soon as next week.
Oh. Congratulations,
dude,
man.
Thank you.
If I couldn't win that match, I would absolutely want you to win. What I want you to do is focus, and next week when you get The Miz in the ring for the Intercontinental title, make his Intercontinental title reign obsolete!
Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling to the max.
And your hosts, Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Leeser.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling to the Max, episode 262, part 1. And of course, we are brought to you by W2Mnet.com. That's right, the place you go find all your great wrestling content, plus a lot more. And I also want to give a special shout-out to 411mania.com, as well as Last Word on Sports.com. Thank you to them for supporting us. Also, hey, make sure you go subscribe, rate, and review over there at Wrestling to the Max. Or if you want to, go to the W2M Network and subscribe there and get all the great content that we have to offer, plus a lot more. Hey, of course, you know, once again, don't forget we're on YouTube and every other platform like Apple Podcasts. So just to give you guys a heads up on everything that you can go do, there you go. Of course, I am your host, Gary Vaughn. Along with me is Mr. Sean Garmer.
Hello, everybody.
And Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And boy, we have an interesting show today. That's right. We have to talk about some injuries going on in the world of wrestling. Plus, we're going to be getting some controversy, some heated stuff going on. Man, there's so much interesting stuff. Plus, a Ric Flair update that you're not going to want to miss out on. As well as we're talking Ring of Honor on this show. So we've got some cool stuff to get into. But, you know, really, honestly, before we jump into all that stuff, guys, I want to stop, and we did this on the Raw review, but I want to make sure we do it here on this show and really give our thoughts, wishes, and prayers out to those people out there in South Texas. There's a lot of people that are hurting tonight because of all their homes and businesses and everything being destroyed. People are being basically displaced because of the storm. Even if their houses really aren't destroyed, they're asked to leave just for precautionary reasons, and so much going on. But this is a huge deal. This is not only taking place in the Fort Aransas area, this is also taking place in the Houston area, all around that South Texas area. It is just destruction and really a lot of sadness going on today. So we want to give all our thoughts, wishes, and prayers to those folks. And I know this touches close to home. I personally have a lot of family in that area, and you know, I even have a sister-in-law who's pregnant, who doesn't know if she has a house right now and could be due any day. Maybe looking for a new midwife. Yeah, that's how close to home this is. And there's a lot of other people I could sit here and basically spend the entire show talking about, but I won't. But I mean, Paul, you alluded to the fact that you've got people here that you personally are tied to dealing with this.
Yeah, my grandmother, I got aunts and uncles down there, I got cousins down there. I know for sure a friend of mine stayed down there with her business with her dad, and that place is lots of flooding damage there. I think they actually made the news, at least on Facebook, for WFAA Channel 8 around our neck of the woods, Gary. Just showing off how flooded the house, it, like half the first story is flooded and untold damage to the building. It's nuts. It's at least they're safe, but I mean, people are losing a whole lot down there. It's a very, very serious situation, and it hit an area that just isn't prepared for this kind of stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just really, really sad, and I don't think that they expected it to go this far. I think they expected a lot of stuff on the coast, but it just really has halted and stayed over the Houston area and just continually pounding the South Texas with rain and all that. I mean, Sean, I mean, you're from the DFW area, so you're up here in the north, but now you live in Miami, and I'm sure you still have family around here. I didn't know if, you know, you've been hearing anything, if you'd been affected at all yourself.
Well, I have some friends. The only family I have is my stepbrothers and sisters. Their mom lives in Houston, so she's been affected by this, and they were kind of telling me what she's been going through. But other than having some friends that I know online-wise that are being affected, I don't have anybody in the sort of immediate or known family that lives there, thankfully. But, you know, we have to deal with this here in Miami all the time with the hurricanes possibly hitting and all that stuff. And so, you know, we're kind of built to deal with this sort of thing. It's never a pleasant deal when these things hit. But, you know, like Paul alluded to, Houston is a very flat city. And there, you know, what do you do with all this water? And then it's not even just the hurricane itself; it's the after rain and everything else that's just continued to keep going over there, which has made things even worse. And you know, I just finished doing the football podcast. We had to talk about the, you know, the Houston, Texas team, their whole family, all their families being affected by that, and all the, you know, good people. The, you know, the good thing that has resulted from this is all these people that have money are certainly shelling it out to help, and that's always good to see. You know, that people that are more fortunate than we are able to raise money to help those that are affected, and always like when people can come together and help out in that way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. And that's why, you know, we want to encourage everyone listening tonight. If you have any funds at all, any extra money that, you know, maybe you have $20, maybe you have 150, maybe you have 1,000, I don't know. If you have any to spare, please donate to the Red Cross, donate to the United Way, going to Houston. Just do your best to help these people because, man, they are really dealing with a lot. Like, you know, I alluded to it and Paul did too. We have a lot of close family and friends that are dealing with this. And luckily, I've heard a lot more, you know, positive things coming out of my family situation and a lot less negative. So I am thrilled about that, but I know there's a lot more people out there not in my same shoes. So please, you know, if you have the extra funds, please donate. That'll definitely help someone out there. The one great thing about this, and just out of a lot of sadness, a lot of terrible things, is you're getting a chance to see people working together, helping each other. Doesn't care. No one really cares about, you know, what color your skin is, what gender you are. All to know is you're a human being. And that's what's great about this. I'm really loving watching this. People helping each other, taking care of each other, the young and the old, and not even caring about all these other stuff that we have to listen to every day for the most part forever now. And this is the good thing out of a terrible situation. So we are human, and it's showing out today, and we are all helping each other. So do your part if you can. We appreciate that. We want to give that little public service announcement really quickly. But, yeah, I mean, Hurricane Harvey has been a disaster. But, I mean, I'm kind of curious what you guys thought about one of the biggest news stories of the weekend was, which was, of course, McGregor and, of course, Mayweather. That was a big fight. I don't know if either of you guys actually watched it. I caught the re-airing. I didn't pay for the fight. I wasn't into it as much. But did you guys catch it, watch it? What'd you think?
I ended up watching it live. So it after we figured out the different streaming problems because the UFC app was just garbage. we ended up getting there. I thought it was a very fun fight, right? I mean, McGregor stood maybe a snail's chance, and I thought he did very well. He just gassed, and Floyd took advantage, and honestly, I really enjoyed myself. It was a very fun fight.
Did you catch it, Sean? I like I said, I rewatched after they aired it. I just, you know, I thought it was good, too. I mean, no biggie to me, though, because I kind of had in my thought process Mayweather was going to win.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, Conor did well for himself, for everybody thinking that, you know, Mayweather was just going to go in there and obliterate him. But, you know, Mayweather was smart, too, knowing that, you know, McGregor would eventually get gassed and he could just take advantage. And, hey, that's what smart boxers do, right? I think I didn't watch it. I watched the Game of Thrones finale instead and also had to do the soccer podcast that night as well. So I just I found out who won and then I was like, all right, cool. Glad that it was enjoyable and not one of those things that ends in like 10 seconds. And
yeah.
Didn't wind up being a ripoff, so that's good for the people that did pay for it. You know, 3 million people, I think, watched it via some kind of illegal stream, so there's that, too. But, hey, you know, they had to expect that. At charging $100 for something, you know there's going to be a lot of people that are not going to pay that. It's really expensive, and, you know, even if you did pay for it, good on you. I'm just glad that it was entertaining, and it went 10 rounds, and it was not one of those situations where you're like, oh, God, okay. Well, that kind of sucked. So
yeah. I'm right there with you because I was kind of concerned about that. I really was. I was thinking maybe round two, round three, KO, it's done. And it wasn't that way. So that made me happy. Really quickly, this isn't the MMA podcast, but, you know, everybody's wondering how McGregor recovers from this. What goes from here, Paul?
I mean, in the post-fight stuff, he said he's still going to do MMA. He's still going to keep going with UFC and all that. Realistically, he probably doesn't need to. Both guys made $100,000? Or no, sorry, $100 million just for walking into the building and into the ring. So, who really needs to fight anymore after that? But he's got two. Well, technically one. I guess he had to strip the other one. But he's got a championship still to defend. He's still going to be the biggest draw that MMA has right now, too. So, honestly, I don't think this really hurt McGregor at all. If anything, he just got to make a lot of money and possibly find another avenue for him to keep making money if he wants to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
I do want to say that if you want to hear people that watch this stuff more than we do, break it down. There is an MMA to the Max podcast that you can subscribe to. Which Robert Taylor and his cousin Joe Hudson do a great job discussing the fight and everything else. So,
yeah,
hey, you people definitely liked it. On has over 2,000 views on YouTube right now. So you guys are enjoyed what they had to say. So if you haven't listened to it, you should.
Yeah, for sure. I really appreciate, you know, those guys over there at the MMA to the Max. They do a great job. And, you know, like Sean said, go ahead and go subscribe, you know, make sure you're a part of that. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much, you know, really quick news I wanted to throw out there. You know, I'm glad for both those guys. They both walked away with a whole lot of money. And McGregor, I mean, can say honestly, hey, I was in his world. Come to my world, Mayweather. We'll see what happens. But yeah, let's go ahead and move on, guys. I know we had a kind of a big opening here, but several things going on this weekend that had to be announced and talked about a little bit here. We appreciate, some of the good news that we have coming out of the, you know, all the craziness. Let's go ahead and jump into some quick hits, though. Let's go ahead and do it now.
It's time for wrestling news. Quick hits.
Take it away, Gary.
All right, guys. Well, let's start out by talking about something that's been on my mind, and that is, where the heck is the Power of Love on WWE television? Well, Mike Kanellis and Maria Kanellis have not been on television for one simple reason. Mike Kanellis, has been dealing with a prescription drug problem and wanted to get some help and has sought that help by going and joining rehab. And so he's been doing that, which has kind of caused him to be off TV for a little while now. This addiction, of course, is something that we know has been, you know, by many people deemed, you know, something that he's overcoming. He's almost out of the, you know, the thought process of being severe because of the fact he's already been this doing that for about 2 months now being clean. So it's not like the guy is going into this fresh. He's, you know, getting into this process. He's really working through it. And at least he's got that to hang his hat on. 2 months clean going into rehab is pretty positive. Let's hope he overcomes all this. But, you know, I didn't see this coming, Sean. I mean, I didn't know that this was even a deal. I mean, I honestly had no idea Mike even had an issue.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of how these things go a lot of times. You don't know that those people have an issue unless you're like Maria and you see him closely every day as someone that has been through that. You know, I'm no longer with this person, but I had to physically watch someone go through this several times. And it's like Maria said, it's a very painful process. It's something it's not only a thing on them, it's a thing on the person that loves you the most. And having to watch that every day, having to physically look at their pain, and you wish you could take their place, but you can't. And luckily for him, you know, he probably had some help in that he wasn't doing it just cold turkey or nothing, because that's the worst. But look, the positive thing is that he's getting there. Every day is a struggle, and you're never totally sober. I mean, you got to fight through that every day, but hopefully he can get well enough to where he can go back to wrestling without having to take the pain pills or whatever else, because that's a big deal. You know, you're going through that pain every day, and I think, you know, a lot of people, and you see it now more than ever, like I chose not to take, because of what I've seen myself, I chose not to take any pain pills when I just went through my surgery. I can't imagine what he has to go through with his pain every single day, hitting something that hurts, and having to do that for 10, 20 minutes at a time every single night for however many years he's been doing this. It's crazy.
Yeah, Gary said you didn't know he had a problem. Neither did Maria. So if that tells you how good he was at hiding the problem. And it's also been said that this is something that precluded his time in WWE, so Lord knows how long he's actually been addicted to all these prescription drugs that he's been on. I've been kind of the same way. Whenever I had surgery on my face, they prescribed me some codeine that I basically refused to take. One, because I wasn't in that much pain, but two, just addiction is a very real thing. It's something I'm always wary of, and if I don't have to do it, I'm not gonna. It's basically how it comes to that sort of stuff. But this is great for Mike. 2 months clean is great, and you just got, you know, like Sean said, you got to take it one day at a time. So best wishes to him, and hope he gets well soon.
Yeah, I wonder if Kurt Angle had anything, if he talked to him at all, considering, you know, he went through such a battle with that, or to finally go get help. Of course, it helps, you know, WWE is always willing to help. You know, you can say what you want about them as a company and other matters, but it's always great that they've been, for a long time now, been willing to help people in this way to make sure that they're clean and rehabbing and all that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Even people that don't even work for the company anymore, work for other places, they're still willing to help them, you know, and that's super positive, and that's really awesome. You know, you guys are talking about how much addiction is a very real thing, and it is something that, you know, a lot of people deal with. And, you know, whether it's drug abuse, whether it's abuse of something else, you know, it's still very serious. And I think that, you know, for him to realize that this is becoming a bigger and bigger problem, it's great that he's able to find it now where he can try to overcome it and really understand what this is all about. If you guys, you know, one movie I would recommend maybe for people to watch is the North Dallas 40. It's a movie that came out in the 70s about a football player. And it kind of showed his addiction and what he had to do to get his body ready to be an athlete and play football. and all the stuff he went through, and just it's just amazing to see that. And you know, I've also heard guys who've been in dressing rooms during, you know, halftime of a football game, and they basically have a bunch of pain pills out, and guys just scoop a bunch up and take them. You know, just what they do. It's part of their lives. And this is something that wrestlers have honestly made a part of their lives, taking medications, taking things to kind of get their body either numb to the pain or past it. That way they can make the next night. And so, yeah, I mean, it's really kind of a weird thing to consider that this guy is going to try to be a wrestler and overcome all this without taking medications. But then again, I mean, mind over body, right? So let's hope that Mike does well. Let's talk about, you know, a situation that went down at Triple Mania. That, of course, is we had Sexy Star and Rosemary in a match, and Sexy Star apparently put Rosemary in an arm bar and separated her shoulder, dislocated it, and man, that's got to be painful. But what we're really getting out of this is people are starting to say a lot of negative things towards Sexy Star. Some people even believe that she purposely did this to Rosemary, possibly even tearing her tricep. So this is really scary to think that maybe Sexy Star would do this on purpose. But that's all just hearsay. That's all rumor. But what we do know is really what's going down is Sexy Star has been confrontational and has had a lot of heat going on backstage at different wrestling shows. And a lot of the wrestlers are going out there and really letting it be known on social media and different platforms. And this is kind of odd because, you know, when I first was introduced to Sexy Star, I thought, okay, she's doing, you know, her thing and she seems to be really respectable. But now we're getting all this news that's really negative, Paul, and I'm really curious what this is all about.
A lot of people seem to think this was all done on purpose, so much so that Vampiro made Sexy apologize to Rosemary after the match backstage. Apparently, Sexy lies to her, according to Rosemary, and said that she thought it was a work and all this other stuff, and she very quickly was forced out of the building afterwards. She's at Lady Shanai, who was also in the four-way match at Triple Mania. Apparently, they were close to actually coming to very real blows inside the ring and outside of it backstage. This is a very large situation. There's so many people out there, wrestlers and people within the business, that want her to be blackballed. They don't want her around anymore because basically wrestling revolves around trust, and if you can't be trusted to take care of the person you're in the ring with, you should not be here and you're not one of them. Which is mostly people's point on Twitter whenever they're doing all these conversations. So this is a very, very serious situation, and especially for somebody who once looked like she might be one of the most talented women of all time, has this whole cachet attached to her. And it really, like, I feel like this happened since maybe her boxing career didn't pan out and she came back to wrestling. That's sort of, I guess, where all this is coming from. Like, maybe she really wanted boxing to work out, and it didn't, and she's back here, and she doesn't want to be, and it's just coming out in very volatile ways. I don't know, but this certainly does paint Sexy in a very different light. It's going to make it hard to watch Lucha Underground and try to cheer for her.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think, Sean? I mean, this is something that's, you know, really interesting because, I mean, we have been rooting for a long time. You know, someone, you know, Lucha Underground is one of the, I guess you'd call it, the biggest baby faces they have. And now all this makes you just really, just kind of feel dirty.
You know, I really didn't, I really haven't been that big of a fan of her for a while. So, you know, she decided to leave wrestling to go do boxing for some dumb reason. And she comes back to wrestling and she hasn't, like, you know, this is just the, like, long line of stuff that she's been doing a lot of going into business for herself, keeping the Reina's title, doing all this stuff. I just, like, you know, this just seems really just really dumb and just goes against the code of wrestling, honestly. You know, as a wrestler, you're taught to always take care of the other person. You know, you're putting their life in your hands every time you're going out there making sure to, you know, protect each other. And when you break that code, it's just, you can't think of that person the same way because you're working with them. It's, and you're working with them in a different way than, you know, in any other sport where you're, in any other sport, you're going out there to beat the other person. Right? And you don't really care about whether, as a human, you don't want to see them get, you know, seriously injured to where they can't play again. But at the end of the day, like, if somebody breaks their leg or whatever, as long as it's not, like, totally your fault, you wake up the next day and you're all right. But when you are maliciously going out there and hurting someone, and you're part of this elaborate play for an audience, and you know how this is supposed to go down, and you decide to take another way for whatever selfish reason you have, that's just, it's awful. It's, you know, all that's being said about her right now, she totally deserves. Because from everything that it looks like, it's, you know, it's what everybody says it is. And unless she can somehow, and it doesn't seem like that's going to happen, prove that it was anything but that, you know, I don't know that blackball is a strong word, because we've seen people do worse than she did and not be blackballed. But you know, for a while, she's probably going to feel the pain of not being able to work. You know, don't know how that's going to affect things for AAA, because they, you know, they really like her. They use her a lot. Don't know if that's going to be a short thing where they don't use her and they eventually bring her back. But how does this affect her in the United States? How long will that be an issue? Because she's already, you know, Cody Rhodes already said whatever locker room he's in, she's not going to be in it.
Yeah,
and he's in quite a few of them.
She's also lost the booking that she had for WrestleCade as well this year, which one of those big wrestling 2-day events up in the Northeast somewhere.
I mean, we could be looking at the end of Sexy Star in wrestling. I mean, if this continues on, I mean, and if people don't forgive her, I just don't know how she could hang on. And, you know, really, let's be honest, when you don't have your peers' respect and people are unwilling to work shows that you're on, it's really setting a bad precedent for you. And, I don't think anybody's really going to touch her and really try to find, you know, that opportunity to even think about signing her to a couple of dates, you know. Hey, I mean, usually in the situations you say, I feel bad for the person, but I don't. You know, and especially when you're actually physically going out there and injuring someone on purpose. You know, what she did to Rosemary, that's going to take time off Rosemary's career. And not only that, that takes money out of her pocket. That's a huge deal, and it's a huge problem, and you can't do that. And this whole business, wrestling is about trusting who you're in the ring with. That's all it's about. Like, you could choose between ending someone's career. Heck, you could even have someone die if you're in this match where, you know, you have to do certain things that are very risky. So you've got the other guys and gals hands in your lives. And, you know, to take advantage of that, it's just a disgusting thing. It really, really is. And yeah, sure, this stuff happened back in the day, back in the 70s and 60s and maybe even before, heck, even maybe in the 80s. But it's become known that you don't do that. And really, let's be honest, if you are doing it, you know for sure nowadays you're going to get cut, blackballed. No one's going to touch you. So, well, you know, we'll follow the story. If anything else comes out of this, we'll definitely let everybody know. But right now, as we know it, Sexy Star, future's looking bleak. Let's talk about someone who has a future that we hope is not bleak. That's Xavier Woods. We love Xavier Woods, and we hope that he gets to wrestle plenty. But right now, it looks like he may be on the shelf for a minute. It looks like he got injured at a SmackDown Live show on Monday, and he hurt his knee, and no really, you know, discussions on really what exactly it is, but we do know that he got injured on that show, which is kind of a problem because those tag belts are with New Day. Yeah, sure, they still have two other guys that can defend him, but, you know, Xavier Woods is an important piece of that puzzle for New Day. So, Sean, I mean, that is kind of suck. I like watching Xavier Woods in that.
The tag titles are on the Usos now, Gary.
Oh, I'm sorry.
SmackDown.
But. I don't know what I'm doing. So I in my head, they saw the tag title.
Gary is having a brain fart. It's okay.
It's cool. Later at night, and I just got through watching Preacher, and I'm still working that through my head right now, guys. So
lots of crazy stuff happens on Preacher. It makes you think twice, you know?
You're telling me. But yeah, okay, so this was that. But still, Xavier Woods not being there just in general sucks.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, you know, it does suck. I mean, Xavier Woods is kind of the, I guess you could call it like the lifeblood of that team. So, you know, not really getting to, if this affects him where he's going to be down and out for a while, it's not good. But, you know, I'm sure we'll still see him on the up, up, down, downs and that kind of thing. So just sucks that, you know, you always sucks to hear about injuries.
Yeah, it supposedly happened near the during the match while he was in there. He screamed out in pain. He couldn't put weight on it, and the referee immediately threw up the X, and they phoned the match home after that very quickly. So I don't know if we're looking at a similar injury to what happened to Big Cass or what. We don't know exactly how he injured it, but it doesn't sound good for sure. So I don't know what's going to happen to New Day with Xavier gone. Obviously the in-ring part will be fine for Mr. Big E and Mr. Kofi Kingston, but Xavier, you know, he does a lot of the mouthpiecing work for him, and that's, I think, a very integral part of the New Day is what Xavier brings to the table. So this could be something that maybe ends the tag team a little too soon, I guess, depending on how severe the injury is.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Hopefully it's not that severe, because these torn ACLs have just been taking everybody right now.
Yep.
Yeah. Heck, I'm afraid to get up and go to the refrigerator a lot of times. So.
To watch Gary just writhing in pain. Oh, my knee.
I'm sorry. It would be funny. I would hope someone would catch it on video.
Wow, that's no joke. You won't be working for a long while.
No, they'll just like tape me to my desk. That's what they'll do. That's what I've always been told by my coworkers. Well, you can get as hurt as much as you want to, but we're going to tape you right there. No, I mean, honestly, I mean, that sucks if that is the case. I'm really hoping not, right? I'm really hoping that Xavier Woods just had some kind of contusion of some sort on the knee, and it's nothing like an ACL tear or anything like that. There's too much of that going around. I wanted to say this, and this is two reasons why I'm going to defend myself, why I screwed up and said New Day has the titles. One, because SummerSlam didn't happen because it wasn't memorable. Two, to be honest with you, we really have not talked about this a ton on this show. I think we were supposed to, and I don't think we really got into it. If we did, I'm sorry. I guess I slept since then. But the New Day, apparently, is supposed to be the biggest tag team in WWE history. And that's what WWE's been kind of talking about backstage, is they want the New Day to be the team that has the most tag team championship reigns of any tag team champion. That means they beat Edge and Christian. That means they beat the Hardy Boys at the most tag team title reigns. And that is something that's been kind of sticking in my mind with those guys. I keep thinking about it. I've been thinking about the process and how they could do this and how they can make it make sense and all that it entails. But now with Xavier Woods, that's definitely putting a wrench in the plans.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree with you on that. Like I said, I think Xavier brings a whole lot to the whole gimmick and everything like that. And as great as Big E and Kofi are, I don't know, if you lose a third of that, how big of an effect is that going to take on just the entire performance that that they bring to the table every time they come out there as a trio? So they'll probably be all right, you know. I imagine Big E and Kofi are very talented.
Well, we saw what happened when Kofi got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of took them out of action for a while. I mean, and it's not like Xavier's not a capable wrestler. Look, he's not as great as Kofi, but he can still go out there and do his thing. So, you know, we've already seen them set their precedent before of kind of going away when one of them's been out. So would they do the same, especially because, like we've said now, that Xavier's that guy that does a lot of the talking after Big E. And, you know, without that, it's not the same. And I wonder if they feel like, well, people won't think it's the same, and they may decide to put him on the shelf for a bit, which sucks. But that's the unfortunate case of injuries with any tag team most of the time. You don't see the other guy until he's doing better.
As we've seen with Mojo Rawley, as we've seen also with, you know, the Revival, right? You know, they've all taken hits because a tag team partner gets injured, and, well, sorry, it's just no TV for you, and that's just a bummer. I mean, the New Day is one of the biggest features over there on SmackDown. People love to watch the New Day, and taking them off TV would be a big problem, I think, because of the fact that tag teams already are so lacking in quality and quantity. It's just really honestly a huge shame. But I'm really curious what you guys think about that whole thought process WWE has. They want this tag team to be historic. Do you think that that's appropriate? Do you think the New Day deserves to be maybe considered above Edge and Christian, the Hardys?
I mean, that's a tough call, right? I mean, we have a lot of time to look back on what Edge and Christian and the Hardys and the Dudleys and all those guys really did together. I mean, you could certainly argue that the tag team division is nearly as strong as it was in the early 2000s and the late 90s, but they are a hot act. They're one of the hottest acts that WWE's had in a while, and it's hard to say they're wrong in that line of thinking. I don't know if they'll get to that point, but I can't say no, but I can't, you know, say yes either.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I see it, you know. What do you think, Sean?
I feel like you have to put them in that echelon, right? For what? Look, maybe they don't have that everlasting impact right now because they're still young in that environment of being a team and being a stable and everything else, but you know, we got to consider that WWE is making a lot of money right now. Mm-hmm. Not just in, you know, maybe not to the heights of the Attitude Era as far as, you know, the live gate goes and all that stuff. But, you know, in another way, they are making just as much. And New Day is a big driver of that as far as, you know, merchandise goes and the bootios. They're a hot item with the toys and the pop things and all that. So then you put them out there, and they're still, as long as they've been around, still one of the hottest things that WWE has. And tag teams, that just doesn't happen anymore. I mean, they're a once in a, since the Hardys and Dudleys and all that, of a tag team that has lasted, a stable that's lasted and been able to go out there. Yeah, they had their time where they were overexposed and they were sort of starting to get on people's nerves and whatever, but they've been able to kind of come through that, and I think WWE has every right to feel that they're not just today, but in that lexicon of tag teams, that they deserve to be there.
Yeah. You make a good point. You really do. And, you know, it's just so hard to kind of think about it because of the fact that, you know, we've really just relied on those same names over and over again for so long that adding this new one in.
Well,
there,
not to mention the dominant reigns, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Or the dominant reigns. They had two of them, two separate ones, where they mm-hmm. were, you know, tag team champions for a long while. Yeah, you can argue that did they have great competition through all that the entire time? No, but I bet if you went through some of the longer reigns, did they also have that? Probably not. And if they did, that's great, but not everybody does. There's sometimes where you just have a long reign because they want you to have a long reign.
Yeah, that's very true, you know. I think that, you know, this is all interesting, yeah, and really, you know, could shake out that really in history they have the opportunity to really prove that point besides just us talking about it. They could do a lot more bigger things and grander things. They still have time, like you guys said. They're still young. We're not talking about guys that are, you know, getting close to 40. No, they're still young. So that's the positive thing here. And they've got a long career ahead of all three of them. So that's what the positive thing is. I mean, I think Kofi Kingston, the oldest one, but I think he's got a lot of wrestling still left in him. So really, really happy to see that. And I think the New Day will do that. And of course, you know, when they, you know, go on and face other bigger matchups, like, you know, the tag champs, you know, Demolition, they will, you know, get a chance to have a good time. So, Demolition is no longer around, are they? They're not the tag champs. It's the Usos. Yeah, sorry. Bad joke that no one got. No, you guys didn't correct me on that one. Gosh darn it. Anyway, oh man, Sean, this is bad. Bad jokes.
We thought maybe we ran the correction number too high already.
High, yeah. See, this is when I need to get off prescription drugs. But anyway.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
We're learning new things as the show goes on here.
Amongst other addictions.
That explains a lot of things, don't you?
Yeah. Trust me, you haven't heard the first of it. Let's talk about Ric Flair. He's a guy that we've really paid attention to because of, you know, his really close situation to BB not being with us anymore. Let's talk about the fact that he's doing a lot better in the sense that he is up and walking with assistance, which is great news. That's excellent news from what we heard not long ago. And apparently, you know, he's about to start rehab, physical, you know, rehab. And that's really, really positive. This means that this guy is on the track to getting back to being healthy and getting back in the mode of possibly getting out of the hospital, which is all great news compared to what we were talking about just 2 weeks ago. So, I mean, Paul, I mean, I'm ecstatic that this guy is getting better and he's not stuck in the hospital's bedrid.
Yes, this is terrific news, especially for somebody even 1 week ago where we were still concerned that he might not be with us much longer. And everything's turned around for him, which is great. Up and walking is great. He's supposed to do physical therapy soon. All great news, and I mean, the world's not done with the Nature Boy by a long shot. With how many people have been dying recently that are in the limelight of fame, Ric Flair does not need to be on the end of that list this year. Maybe never, but we can't get greedy.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man.
It'd be very, very sad day when that happens, and I don't want that to happen anytime soon. I mean, like I said before, the one thing we can never truly defeat is Father Time. That day will come for all of us, but hopefully, you know, for Ric Flair, still many years to come. I want him wooing it like 95 on his bed, like, whoa, whoa. He can barely do it, but he's still going out there and just, you know.
Oh, man, I can just imagine him on a gurney then pushing him out there. Whoa.
I imagine he would still find a way to strut if he ever found himself in a wheelchair, too.
Yeah.
So. Oh, my God. This would be hilarious. I am sorry. It'd be amazing. Yeah. But, you know, Ric Flair, you know, continue to get better, please. I mean, we're ecstatic that you are this far. Just continue that process. One last thing we're going to jump into here, guys, is Eddie Edwards and something that he accomplished this past weekend. He, of course, did something great in NOAH, and that has become the Global Honor Champion. That's right. And he did so Global Honor Crown Heavyweight Champion, excuse me. And this is a big deal. He is the first outsider to actually earn this. And, I mean, this is a guy that we may actually see you defend this on the Global Force Wrestling television. So, Impact, watch out. I mean, Sean, I mean, this is kind of good, you know, especially for Eddie Edwards. I mean, this is really positive.
Yeah, see, he lost that TNA championship and decided he wanted to win something a lot more prestigious. So, go him. This is an awesome moment, I think, to be the first Gaijin that wins anything, especially in And many of these companies that have such a long history, like they do in Japan, is just really awesome. And, you know, who knows how long he gets to keep it, but that's still an awesome moment for Eddie Edwards that he gets to tell his kids and grandkids about, I guess.
Yeah, this is really cool for Eddie. He's somebody who has absolutely earned this. He's been through the Ringer and Noah. He was big, or he got to go over there while he was with Ring of Honor, while they had their relationship, and really feels like somebody who fits the role. The guy who he beat, Katsuhiko Nakajima, I'm a super huge fan of. I still need to watch this match, but absolutely congratulations to Eddie Edwards, and it'll be real interesting to see him walk around with it on GFW TV, see how they treat this. This is supposed to be what Global Force Wrestling is supposed to be about, having guys from all over the world with a bunch of different titles showing up and going at it and seeing, I guess, who's the best. But I'm excited for Eddie, and his first challenge is going to be Marufuji as well. So that match should be phenomenal when that takes place.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Really looking forward to that one. That is going to be cool. You know, and once again, congratulations to Eddie Edwards on that big opportunity. It's really, really awesome. But yeah, that pretty much wraps up our quick hits for this episode. Of course, you know, we'll have big news probably coming to you Thursday night. Of course, Friday morning on the download on the next part two episode. But we still have to talk some Ring of Honor here. And before we do that, I just wanted to throw a shout out to everyone and let them know that we are going to have some Mae Young Classic content coming your way. That's right. Paul, Harry Broadhurst, and Patrick Ketza, of course, are going to be doing the Mae Young Classic review show, which will be debuting, of course, Wednesday morning on the download. They'll be recording it actually Tuesday night. So when you wake up Wednesday morning, you will have it available. So make sure you catch up on all that. Watch all four episodes that just came out today, and make sure that you check those guys out and listen to what they have to say. I'm super excited about it. I really, really am. I'm just now getting started with it myself. I know Paul just finished it up this evening, and I know Sean, you'll be watching it too. So we'll be checking it out, but these guys are going to give you a full realm of information of everything that took place, and of course, maybe some inside information on some of these ladies that have been taking place in each of these matches. So you don't want to miss that. I just want to let everybody know that before we move on. So, all right, let's jump into it. Let's go ahead and talk some Ring of Honor.
All right, Ring of Honor opens up this week with some tag team competition as Jay White teams up with Jonathan Gresham to take on War Machine. And holy cow, Gary, did these guys come out here with some bad intentions to put on a great show for everybody. I really felt like all four guys got a chance to look awesome. War Machine particularly always looks great in these opportunities where they get to really show off how just monstrously powerful they are. And White and Grisham got to do their thing as well. Obviously, White's really been, I think, on the upswing since that match with Will Ospreay. And I think that was on full display here. And Gresham really got to show you what makes him so great. It's not only just submission holds, it's just how quick this guy is. And unfortunately, it wasn't enough for those two. They eat the big pop-up power slam for War Machine that has now been dubbed Thor's Hammer, which somebody said tell him is just called Mjolnir. But maybe that's copyrighted with Marvel going around. Who knows? But
yeah.
War Machine does get the victory here. I loved this match, though. I thought it was great, especially down the stretch. These guys were just hitting all sorts of great stuff.
I don't know how you couldn't love this match.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a blast to watch, and it was almost like you took a peek into watching a live indie show somewhere, and they were just letting themselves get loose and just do whatever they felt was appropriate for the match. I didn't feel like they were regulated at all. I felt like that they gave everything that they had to give in it, and really, which was kind of a funny thing, being the fact that this is open to show.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you got to look at who's in the ring, right? I mean, Gresham and White, Mike, just alone, those guys are amazing. And then War Machine, you already know, with the skins on the wall that those guys have, they are ready to rock. And, boy, did they really give it to us. I'm really, really happy with this. I thought they really gave us a fair chance to think that Gresham and Wyatt could win this match, and they really showcased their abilities, and I'm really, really happy with it. But War Machine, you're still dominant. You're looking great. Really happy with it.
And of course, afterwards, Punishment Martinez attacks Jay White and ends up dispatching Gresham to keep all that feud stuff going there. And then we get to cut backstage to Caprice Coleman, who is trying to prepare for his new talk segment, Coleman's Pulpit, but the production team has failed him. They have not gotten all the stuff he requested for his set, and sort of runs down Ring of Honor for being mismanaged and all this other stuff. So Caprice seems to be keeping the spirit of the Rebellion alive, if you ask me. Not a whole lot has changed for him.
Yeah, and you know, he even mentions the Rebellion in that promo, you know, and I think that's good. I mean, yes, sure, the Rebellion had to break up because of that stipulation, but at the same point, it to me, it feels something that's needing to be around. I mean, maybe they change the name of it, maybe they do something else, but they do need to still have a Rebellion of some sort. And I really love the idea of playing off the Preacher thing with this guy who actually is a preacher in Caprice Coleman. So that's something that's really, really positive to me. I think that they can do a lot of things with it. They can add people in to be his ushers, to be his right-hand men, to do whatever they want to call, whatever they want to do. So I actually think it's a really smart thing. I'm really looking forward to it when they do, you know, what is it, Caprice's Pulpit, or is it, well, I forget what they call it.
Coleman's Pulpit.
Coleman's Pulpit, thank you. So, I mean, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I like some of the knocks at Ring of Honor for not being ready. But when they actually do get that set together, I'm going to sit there and question how much money they spent on it. You know, maybe they were delaying. Who knows?
Maybe so. I kind of like he gave them a week. So we'll see what happens next week for these guys. But there's a part of me that kind of hopes like the walls fall apart on him during the interview or something like that, and he just starts going nuts.
I hope the stained glass just starts falling out of the panes. Yeah. You know, he's like, what? Oh, my goodness. It's going to be great. Yeah, I agree.
We get a highlight from last week where Jay Briscoe was taken out by the Kingdom, which has put him out of action and has changed next week's main event. Mark Briscoe and Bully Ray will now just team up as a tag team to take on Adam Page and Cody Rhodes. And then we get to this next match of Shane Taylor taking on Josh the Goods Woods. You have QT Marshall on commentary here. And throughout the match, he's really pulling for Shane to work Josh over, to beat him up, and to quote-unquote do his job. Shane takes this advice to heart as the match goes on and comes down to the end. He goes outside, he grabs a chair from underneath the ring, and goes to use it, but the referee stops him, which allows Josh to roll him up, so you get to protect Shane that way. And then after the match, Shane puts a big beat down on Josh. QT Marshall comes down and eggs him on further, and keeps going until QT is satisfied, and then he hands Shane an envelope full of cash. So maybe it looks like Shane Taylor might be taking up some hitman duties.
Be careful, Shane. You don't want to become Brodus Clay.
Yeah.
but no, this is interesting. I think it kind of keeps Shane Taylor around and really gives him something to do besides just being a big bad mother, you know. And that's funny because I just like watching him be dominant, to be honest with you. I think it's, you know, it's completely fine to me just to have him go out there and kick the crap out of everyone that walks in front of him. But in a sense, it's good to have a little extra something to the story. Anytime you're basically paying a guy to be the enforcer, it can bring around storylines that he couldn't have got on his own. Places that he couldn't be, or it just things don't line up the right way. So I don't think it's a bad idea. I'm not knocking it. I'm just kind of surprised that we get this so quick. I thought Shane Taylor was going to kind of have a little bit of a journey by himself without anything else, but apparently not. So it is what it is. I'm okay with it. And I'm really kind of curious with this whole, you know, Woods situation as well, where he's going to come from on this. Is he going to be the one trying to get retribution, or is he just one of the stepping stones?
You know, this was a really interesting match whenever they brought both guys out because, for one, they had a great brawl, and I underscored the match here in lieu of all the extracurriculars, but the content of the match I thought was good. This is maybe one of the better matches I think Woods has had in Ring of Honor since they brought him in for the top prospect tournament. And, you know, I don't know. I was real curious how they're going to protect this because they have plans for Woods, obviously. And I think they have plans for Taylor, too. And they want to keep him strong, just seemingly from everything they've done leading up to this match. And this is his first one, I believe, since the Rebellion is split. So I was expecting something like this to happen. I wasn't expecting the whole Enforcer thing, but I was waiting for something that protects both guys, and they accomplished that here. I don't know how interested I am in maybe Woods feuding with QT Marshall, because I really don't have a great clue of who Marshall is yet, but I like Shane Taylor, and I'm still on the fence about Woods, because he still feels like a sort of dime store version of Matt Riddle. No offense, the guy, I think, you know, the guy is obviously wrestling and working very hard. It's just, I think Ring of Honor has higher aspirations for where his talent level is at currently, and I don't know.
No, I'm with you on that point, because he is a little bit more greener, and you can definitely tell it in his style. And I think, you know, Woods is just that. He is a top prospect. He's a guy that came in and earned his opportunity, but in that opportunity, he's got to learn and get more experience under his belt. And I don't know what exactly they have in store for him and what maybe they want to do with him, but they're going to have to be patient. And Ring of Honor fans are not going to let him get away with just having him be subpar and bring in matches that aren't really all that grand. They're going to expect big things. So it's in their best interest to get this guy polished up, to give him experience in front of the crowd, give him experience in the ring as much as they can, but also ease it along a bit. Don't expect too much out of Josh Woods, because he's good, but he's not great, and you don't want to push people into, you know, something that's not going to happen.
Right. Right. Exactly. We get a couple string of promos here, so I'll go through them very quickly. First up, the Young Bucks talk about their match with the Motor City Machine Guns tonight as they defend the ROH World Tag Team titles in the main event. I think this was usual Young Bucks stuff. They tell the Motor City Machine Guns it's not 2009 anymore. The roles have changed. Tonight it's time for Super Kick Party, all that great stuff. And then we get to find out that Cody's open challenge for the Ring of Honor World Title, has been answered by none other than Minoru Suzuki. And they show a video package hyping up Suzuki and basically how big of a sadist he is. And Cody has a big freak out backstage. So this match will take place at Death Before Dishonor out in Las Vegas. And then we get to see Kenny King talk about his experience on reality TV and what it sort of taught him about himself. And he wants to come into Ring of Honor now and live up to his true potential. And he had this crystallizing moment against Kushida that sort of told him that he was doing the right thing, that he knew who he wanted to be in that moment. And also at Death Before Dishonor for the TV title, they will have their rematch since their last match got interrupted by the Bullet Club. And I thought the Kenny King stuff was good. I think they're doing a pretty solid job of trying to get fans behind him and make him feel sympathetic. And I'm interested in how Cody and Suzuki's going to work out too.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting. I'm really kind of excited about that. I think that, you know, what we've seen out of Cody Rhodes has been just one of those spectacular events because of the fact that he has been all around, done different promotions. We've seen him in huge matches, and to come and see to do this one, it's just going to be a lot of fun because we have expectations going on with him and the same with Suzuki. So that'll be, I think, spectacular. But, you know, besides that, I mean, I will say that I think that, you know, what they show here with Cody and him getting upset, it really puts Suzuki in a really bright light because, you know, Cody is supposed to be this guy, doesn't care who he's facing, what it's all about, but his little freak out there makes you feel really happy, for Suzuki, because you really think this guy is going to be something. And so really happy with that. I mean, so. And the other thing I was wanting to touch on, you just talked about it, I'm already blank. I keep thinking about Cody Rhodes.
Kenny King's promo.
Kenny King. Yes, Kenny King. You know, the way Cody Rhodes acted, you know, when he found out about Suzuki is the way I acted when I found that Kenny King did not get the rose. So, yeah. But, you know, I mean, I'm kind of glad they kind of touched on that whole thing, the reality TV. And this is a really interesting perspective from really going from Kenny King's this jerk, he's a bad heel, to man, let's get in touch, let's understand him, let's find out what he's all about, let's get behind this baby face. And so it's kind of funny, but you know what? I'm kind of a Kenny King fan. I kind of like the guy. He's got charisma. I think he's pretty darn good in the ring. And so I'm happy. I'm happy with this little bit of a introspective on who he is, what he's about. And I want to see good things come from him. And I think they will. I hope they give him those opportunities.
Yeah, I agree with you. I enjoy Kenny's work. I really think he can be something for Ring of Honor. And this feels like a good step of getting behind him. So I'm all down for this. And that brings us to our main event. The Young Bucks defend the ROH World Tag Team titles against the Motor City Machine Guns. And if you've seen these guys any time since the feud with when the Young Bucks were known as Generation Me back in TNA, when these two teams were really just lighting it up against each other, to watching them now, it's like reading the same book over and over again and always finding something new to enjoy. And this is just one of their, you know, 1,000 efforts that these guys have done against each other where it's just, it's effortless. It looks so easy. It's so smooth. These guys know what they're going to do maybe 5 to 10 moves ahead of what they're actually doing right now. And the crowd is buying into everything. And naturally, it has to end some way wonky. And here comes the Addiction. Kaz and Christopher Daniels attack both teams, living up to Kazarian's promise to ruin everything Ring of Honor holds dear. And really, I guess just to put a cherry on the whole thing, at the end, Kaz shoves over a fan at ringside, who's very clearly a plant. But I thought the match was great. I'm okay with the angle. We might be revisiting their ladder war, but I'm okay with this. I think this worked out really well, and the Young Bucks and really the Bullet Club in general and the Machine Guns are sort of, I think, synonymous with what a lot of fans think of when it comes to Ring of Honor, and this makes for a fine picture.
It really does, and this main event was something that I think we all were expecting big things from, and it ended up being that way. Because of the fact that, you know, the Young Bucks and just everything that they have to bring to the table. And then you get, of course, the Motor Machine Guns, them as well. And it's everything you said it was. It's just, well, let's be honest, great match after great match after great match. And they just continually do it, making it look effortless. But when you have Kaz and Daniels ruining that for the fans, it brings something else to the table. So that's what makes me happy. I was bummed out the match didn't get finished, but, you know, they'll do it again down the line. Well, what's kind of good here is the fact that we did have something that's kind of changing things up here, and Kazarian and everything that he's, you know, doing with Daniels and just really helping him kind of prove a point to people that you got to respect me, you should treat me better, all that kind of stuff. I'm really happy with it. I really, really am. And even though there was a plant that they pushed over, supposed to be just regular fan, to me, it's a good step, and to showing that, hey, you know, Kaz and Daniels just do not care about anyone else but themselves. Mm-hmm. And they're going to ruin your time and your big matches just to prove that point. I like that. I like bullying the crowd. I like bullying the TV, you know, crowd. Mm-hmm. I think it just makes sense, right? I think, you know, a lot of people say that they're going to ruin, you know, wrestling fans' time during a show, but they usually kind of halfway do it. I think Kaz and Daniels could actually really do it, and that kind of gets me excited.
I agree with you. I'm super invested in what the Addiction is doing right now, just because they're so much more interesting as heels, if you ask me. Them having all the right reasons to do this, as far as what the crowd or what they perceive the crowd to do, and basically turning on them for basically not being the flavor of the month anymore, is a very real storyline that I feel like happens all too often on the independent circuit, and it's going to be a real treat to see what they can pull off here.
Exactly. I'm really looking forward to it, and there's big things coming our way with that. So we'll have to keep posted, but I want to see new ways, you know, Addiction of bullying people. I've got to see it. I mean, get one of your kids to put them out of the audience and slap the heck out of them. So.
That'd be cool.
I'm just sorry. Wouldn't it be great? Just see, oh my God, he just did not slap that 11-year-old. Yeah, he did.
He sure did.
Oh boy. So yeah, that's Ring of Honor though, right?
And that sure is. That's it.
But yeah, there you go, guys. And that, of course, will conclude our show. We appreciate you for checking us out and joining us tonight. I know, trust me, plenty of blurbs and flubs on my side of the table because I guess, you know, one of those episodes where Gary once again screws up here and there. But hey, I'm glad to be at least doing it and having a great time. This has been a fun episode. You know, Monday shows are a little bit shorter than our Thursday shows, but they're still a blast to listen to. Lots of great news coming out and just a good time ahead overall. I love hanging out with Paul and Sean when we get to. But yeah, just hey, make sure you guys know W2Mnet.com. Once again, go rate, subscribe, and review over at Wrestling to the Max. And of course, the W2M Network. If you want everything over there at the W2Mnet.com family. Plus, go ahead and make sure you check out our YouTube channel and all that is included with that. Want to give a special thank you to 411mania.com and lastwordonsports.com for all their support. And that is all for us tonight. Yeah, that's right. We are done tonight. So, okay, well, guys, we are going to say adieu. And until next time, if you're not living life to the max.
Not living life at all.
You know it.
Peace.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.